thank you everybody for coming today. And happy St. Patrick's Day. We see a lot of green around the crowd here. I did not wear any green. I am wearing my Andy Reid imitation look-alike today. I just need that hat with the frozen mustache, you know, and I'd probably be just perfect. So, but it is St. Patty's Day. We hear a lot about St. Patrick. He was a saint for Ireland and did so much for the Christian people in Ireland. And I have not seen the flick Patrick. I Am Patrick. Has anybody seen I Am Patrick? I haven't seen it yet either, so probably a good one to watch. But it is his day, so if you're wearing green, you won't get pinched. If you're not wearing green, I don't understand the theory behind pinching. Does anybody else? Okay. So I'm not alone. All right, that's good to know. And I said, I am Richard Cox. I call myself a pastor because 2 years ago I graduated with my master's degree. I do not pastor a church. I am part of this church. I support and back my pastor, Tim, since the day one, and he's done a great job, and that's what the Lord told me to do. So I asked the Lord, I said, well, you told me to finish my degree and do it in pastoral education when I was set to go get my master's degree in education. I'm a teacher. And then I learned, you know, there's teacher, preacher, kind of the same thing. You're providing people with knowledge, and you're teaching them to be better or to learn something that will do good in their life. So while I was going to school, I was blessed to have Pastor Wes, have breakfast with Pastor Wes and Tom every Saturday morning. What a great mentor to have while you're going through Bible school than a pastor who visits with you every Saturday over eggs and toast. So it's been a blessed event. And so I've been asking the Lord, I said, well, when am I supposed to do it? And he said, wait, be patient and wait. I talked to Tim and he says, do what the Lord says. I said, well, the Lord told me be patient and wait and support you. So that is what I have done. So when I call myself a pastor, I am not, I pastor my own ministry, and I do pretty well with the ministry. A lot of it is around weddings. I do a lot of weddings for people who do not get married in a traditional church settings. Maybe they want to go somewhere else. And so I have done that, and I've done baptisms, and so it's been a blessed ministry, but I feel the Lord's, you know, wanting me to do more, and when the day comes, I will do more. But today, I am glad to be here today. It's a great to be here today to talk to you, my congregation, friends, and family. This is really blessed. I'd like to thank Tim for the opportunity for me to speak to you today. It's been really blessed. So today, the message is centered around patience. And so God, it's a virtue of many. Paul talks about patience all the time. And so patience is a key virtue. Every time he talked about virtues, Paul always mentioned patience. So today we are designed to prepare, not to scare. And so I'm going to touch a little bit into a subject of prophecy. But I'm not going into all the high-tailed, what's the definition of 10 horns and dragon. Well, we're not doing that. It gets confusing, and that is not for us. Do you realize that we, the church, Christ people, we're not going to experience a rapture. So all this junk, all this terror, we're not going to experience because we are in Christ. We are Jesus's bride. And when he comes to get us, he wants a good, pure bride. He doesn't want one that's battered and trampled underfoot. So when Jesus comes for us, he is going to save us from that. So what I want to focus on today is, you know, what is the meaning behind it with using patience and looking to our Lord Jesus? What do we have to learn from what he teaches us about patience and his coming? So I've been praying about this, and the Lord gave me this. And so this is what I'd like to share with you today. So it is safe to say that we are moving in a really fast society today, aren't we? Everything is just coming at us 24/7. And we all want things right now. It seems like our youth nowadays, they want to go to school, graduate, and make $180,000 a year when that's not it. I got students in my class going, well, I'm going to go graduate and open my own shop. Okay, well, those are good goals, but realistically, you're going to have to work towards those, right? So, but we are in the age of instant gratification, and it seems to be no patience. Now, I don't mind learning patience. You probably don't mind learning patience, as long as it doesn't take a whole lot of time, right? I mean, patience is a hard one, you guys. It's a really hard one to deal with, because when you sense something, you taste something, you see something, and you want it so bad, you want it now. But some of those things take time. God's word teaches us another way to live and approach lives here on earth. We are to stay centered on Christ, consistent in our walk, doing things that we would want to be found doing when Jesus comes back. In other words, we need to be patient. So when Jesus is coming back, this is imminent. We all know how this story ends, so it's not designed to scare, it's designed to prepare. Prepare for the Lord's coming in glory, in greatness. It is not something to worry about or be in fear of. So as we know the Lord is coming and it is imminent, we know he's going to come today. So what do you want to be found doing when he comes? What are you going to be doing when Jesus comes? You could be sitting at the bar having a cigarette and a beer, or are you going to be like today? We're all in church. If Jesus was to come right now, what a great time. We're all in church praising, worshiping him, right? But after you leave here, he could come. He can come at any time, and we don't know that day and time. It is foolish for these people to think, and oh, he's coming on this day. Well, no. As soon as somebody says that, I'm out. Because there's a lot of junk out there, people, and you got to be careful who you listen to, and you got to be careful with the Medianites. I call them Medianites, you know, our media, who wants to promote their own agenda. You'll be careful. Find trustful, truthful words that don't allow the junk into your life. So we will take our first scripture. It comes from James 5:7, and it kind of serves for the base for this text, just for this sermon. It says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and later rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And it is at hand. We don't know the day or time, but if you look at signs and things that are coming at us so fast, we know that the time is drawing near. So we think, right? Well, back in hundreds of years ago, they thought he was coming. It's been 100 years later. But we don't work on God's time. We know that God created time, didn't he? So time is something that God created, is nothing of us. But let's take a look at the word. Let's see what Webster says. Webster's New World Dictionary defines patience as persevering in a performing a task or endurance without complaining. It also offers this definition of patience: bearing suffering and provocation with calmness and self-control, and refraining from, in the midst of it, from retaliating. To me, that sounds like what Jesus did, didn't it? Jesus was persecuted. He carried his own cross. He went, he was nailed to the cross, and he died for our sins. At no time did he want to retaliate. When they took him the night before, Peter wanted to cut off ears and do it, and Jesus says, self-control, relax. This must come to pass. So self-control is a big part of it. And Jesus exemplified that, and he never strayed away from that. So patience is something that we are commanded to strive for and incorporate into our lives as we wait for the second coming of our great Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Bible says the only way to learn patience is through tribulation? Well, now I'm not talking the big tribulation of the, I'm talking tribulations of day to day. Tribulation, it works patience. Many of us can attest that it's often through the difficult seasons in our lives that God does his most profound work. You know, we're struggling, we're in the end, we don't know what else to do, and there's Jesus. Jesus is there to carry us through. Many of us can attest that it's often through these difficult seasons that we are closer to God. Because we are closer because we are communicating, we're asking for help. Is when we are under stress and we discover things about ourselves we never knew we could do. You are forced into a situation. You're like, what's, you know, you're stressed out, you're lost. What are we going to do? And in those moments, you find out who you are, how much strength you have. And if you have Jesus Christ with you, that strength is undeniable. One thing that Tim has taught us from the very beginning is our strength in Christ, what we have, what we can do, we have this power. Jesus has incorporated us, and we have the Holy Spirit. So why should we fear? That is a good question. We should not fear. God did not instill fear into us. Salvation comes with a confession that you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, that through him you can be forgiven. You believe he is the Son of God, and now with your salvation by his grace, you are saved and receive the Holy Spirit. You are a new person with patience. You will grow in him and serve the will of the Father. That is to ask for help in every single thing you do. If you are asking the Father God to help in everything you do and you pray, he is going to help you. So we see young people turning to Christ, and, you know, new Christians, and we celebrate that, the angels celebrate. But we see it sometimes, some of these younger generations are people like, okay, I went to, you know, I found Jesus, I accepted him as my Savior, and they want to wake up the very next day and everything be great. Okay, well, I got that 5-star job, I got a house, a wife, a kids. I have everything that God has promised me. Okay, well, now we're back to that short term, no patience. You are going to receive that feeling overnight because you get the Holy Spirit. You now know that you have what it's going to take to get through these trials in life. You are saved. You are a child of Christ. And as a child of Christ, like I said, you have authority. So as you start your Christian walk and as you start believing and living every single day, you have to realize you're going to need the patience because you yourself have digged a lot of holes, haven't you? Some people, when they come to Christ, they're at their bottoms, they're at the midst. Not everybody comes to Christ on Sunday afternoon when they're 16 years old and then get to live. It's not always that way. So if you are down and out, okay, you've dug a lot of holes. Your drug abuse, your whatever abuse that you're doing, things that you've done, decisions you've made were on your own. These are not God's decisions. God did not tell you to do this. You have dug a hole. But the good news is Jesus is there to help you out of that hole. So as you continue to walk and grow in Christ, he is with you. That is the power. That is great news. Oh, man. So as you dig yourself out of this hole, by the grace of God, and let him guide you, things will be good. You will soon have the things that God has promised you. But it takes work, doesn't it? Instant gratification can't come overnight. He's not going to give you everything overnight. He's going to give you overnight the power of the Holy Spirit to do these things, to listen to him, and to follow him. Even in the light of this fact, the natural question we all ask, why is the Lord waiting so long? You hear that all the time when people, well, if Jesus come back, why is he waiting so long? Well, let's take a look at what Peter says. Peter 3, 8 through 9 offers a little bit of perspective. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. So Jesus wants us all. Is he being greedy? No. He promised us that he will preach and that he will be to the ends of the earth. He will not come until everybody has had the opportunity to accept him as their Savior. Jesus wants all. So it's kind of hard to say. So do you know why the Lord delays his coming? Because he's just waiting for that one more person to come to faith. There may be somebody, and if that is it, that is it. He wants everybody saved from an eternity outside of him. Peter tells us the way we look at time does not equate with God's timetable. Did you know that God is not affected by time? Because like I said, he created it. The Almighty God created time. He's not affected by it. You can't be like, well, Wednesday afternoon, you know, Lord, we got an appointment and you need to. No, he doesn't follow a schedule. He doesn't follow time. God created time, so God creates in his own realm. Because how foolish of us to think that God would be placed on our schedule. That is foolish. We do not know when Jesus will return. What we do know, according to the word of God, that it is imminent, and I believe it is getting closer at hand. When I mean closer, I'm not saying, no, you know, next week, so you better start doing it. I'm like, no, it's getting closer. It still could be another 100. Who knows? We don't know. And anybody who says they know or have a good idea, away from me, Satan. Only God knows the day, the time, and the hour. Let's take a look at what Matthew says. Matthew 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. Remember the fig tree? When its branches are already come tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. We're in spring right now. I love my backyard because all my tulips and daisies are starting to come up, and my wife gets excited because she just loves the flowers. And so I spent a couple days this week with her, you know, raking up the ground, getting ready. We know spring is here. Spring is near, and the weather's getting warmer. And I just love spring. It's one of my favorite times of the year. So we know it is near. But what day does spring? Well, there's a day on the calendar, isn't it? Well, spring starts this day. Okay, well, that's what you guys say. That's what the calendar says. But for me, spring has already sprung, and it's a beautiful thing. Our role and responsibility as followers of Christ is to wait with patience and endurance for the day of his return. When that day happens, it will be like a blink of an eye. So when it is going to be a blink of an eye, and we don't know when it happens. It's going to be so quick, just like the lightning goes from the east to the west. Is that how it goes, right? West to east? We got any teachers here who know that stuff? No? Okay. So as light comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will also the coming of the Son of Man be. So we need to what? Be prepared, be ready. Be prepared and be ready doesn't mean to sell all your stocks, do all this, start overreacting. It is not what God wants you to do. You are to live your life and to praise the Lord and to love Jesus with all your heart and continue to live as a Christian. So like I said, when he comes back and finds you, what are you doing? That is a good piece right there. If you learn anything out of this, know that when Jesus returns, what is he going to find you doing? If you put that into your thoughts, into your actions day to day, wouldn't they change? Because if you're about ready to, if you had an addiction with pornography and you're ready to turn on that porno film, and then all of a sudden you think to yourself, well, what if Jesus came and found me here right now doing this? Oh, I know I wouldn't do it. So if you start thinking with the thought process in your head, if Jesus was to return right now, what? So think about that. It is a good, good tool for you to use. So this right now in the time that we're living is not a time for frail Christians. This is a time for us to be strong in our faith and to have confidence in the one we serve, Jesus Christ. James calls upon his readers and us as well to take this matter into our own hands. It is our personal duty to develop an attitude of courage and steadfastness as we face the circumstances of this day today. There's a lot of crazy stuff coming at us going on in this world. We just had the second Holocaust in Israel. Poor people, I mean, throwing babies in the oven and turning it on and raping. What? This is horrible. Why would this be okay to anybody? Especially a little baby. You're going to throw a baby. I'm going to stay. No. Okay. That's for another sermon. Oh, boy. Well, you're going to get an earful, Satan, on that one. So instead of feeling agitated and shaken by experiences, we must develop this inner strength. This is not a time for us to complain and whine and cry. This is time for us to stand up as people of God and represent Jesus Christ as we were created to be. Let's look at Titus 13. Titus 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. It says we should teach it. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anybody despise you. So God has given us authority. Jesus gives us authority. The Holy Spirit empowers us. This, don't be afraid and don't wander. Don't let other people put poison into your ears. Don't let the mediaites tell you something different. You are encouraged to rebuke Satan. Away from me, Satan. And do it with authority because you have that authority. Tim has taught us the authority that we have. And it's one of the greatest things I've learned from him so far is just the authority I have over the enemy. For prayer, for healing, for repentance. The authority that we have is great, and I really have learned that over the last year, and I feel blessed to be able to hear that. So over and over again, we are told to wait. It is true that we are called to wait for Christ, but as we wait, we have the confidence in knowing that he's already where we're going to be. When Jesus left, where did he go? He says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And where I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and get you one day and take you to that place. So Jesus, that they're preparing a place for us right now, that's a good thing. He talks about, you know, he said in one of the parables about mansions. You know, in my Father's house are many mansions, I would not tell you so. So I think, sometimes I'm a little funny. I'm like, hey, you know, I wonder if Jesus is working on my mansion today. Then also, oh, wait a minute. An apartment? Okay, I'll be happy with that. Never mind. Yeah. Apartment's all I get. Well, at least I'm there with the Lord and Savior. No, we develop crowns. Your good deeds go towards, and your faith in Jesus Christ is part of that. So as he is preparing a place for us, we must know that he's coming back for us. This is great. And he's coming back for us. We know that we're not going to face a tribulation because he wants his bride pure and whole. He's coming for us. And in the fact that we have our home settled forever in heaven, that gives us confidence as we walk and wait here on earth today, doesn't it? We already have our home set up there. If it's not built yet, well, then, you know, you're going to have some patience, right? In the meantime, you know, work on good, godly things. Work on things that Jesus is telling you to do. Follow the things that God is telling you to do. And maybe you might add an extra room or two to that mansion that he's working on. Maybe he might just be able to change the blueprint. Well, Richard, you know, you... You know, or, oh man, you know, you fell backwards. Okay, you know, there goes your sunroom. I'm not trying to make light. I just, you know, so he's preparing a place for us. And you know what's the greatest thing is we already know the ending to this story, don't we? We know the ending to this story, and it's a great. So if I give you a book and you're like, hey, man, you want to read this? Oh, I don't like, no. The ending is great. Okay, well, you know, so it's like watching the Super Bowl. I don't want to watch the Super Bowl until I know the Chiefs won. Yeah, I don't want to watch all the drama. I don't want to go through the drama. I just want to know they won or they lost, and so I can, you know. So life, we have to live life. So as we wait for this glorious day, and we know the end of the story is good. You know, we win the Super Bowl. So I don't care what team you're on, but what team are we all on? Team Jesus, right? Are we all on Team Jesus? Okay. So, 4th and 1, we should not fear, should we? Are you going to fear 4th and 1? I'm not afraid. Not that I'm with Jesus. So, what does prophecy do? One thing that prophecy does, it empowers us to live a pardoned life. First, the study of prophecy empowers us to live pardoned lives. It motivates us to confess our sins and claim eternal life Jesus offers to us. Studying biblical prophecy motivates us to claim his pardon and live in the exception of his glorious return. It is not a bad, we're not freaks. You know, so many people call it, oh, you're one of those end time freaks. They're not freaks. We are not freaks. This is God's word. This is what he told us is going to happen. Our Bible is full of prophecy. So why are we freaks and why are we scorned about it? We should not be. Another thing that prophecy does, it empowers us to live productive lives. Prophecy also enables us to live productive lives. Some people think a keen awareness of the second coming of Christ will turn us into a bunch of lazy souls who stand around gazing up or like a useful trance, you know, like we're a bunch of, you know, just zombies, and he's come, I don't need to do nothing, why should I pay my bills, you know, to heck with the electric company, lost power, oh, don't worry, Jesus coming tomorrow. No. Come on, people. We are not going to be lazy. We're not going to be walking around, you know, like some guy who just smoked 2 joints is waiting at the airport going, have you seen gate 56? Has anybody seen gate 56? That is not us. We are empowered by the Lord Jesus, and we wait for his coming, and we're not freaks, and we're not standing around dazing, doing nothing. We're working, serving him every single day until his return. And some people say that in the days of Noah. So we are to go on, okay, well, yeah, people as in the days of Noah, they're waiting, they're drinking, they're doing, yeah, we are still doing everything as in the days of Noah. But in the days of Noah, Noah was focused on God. God told Noah what to do, and people thought he was a freak, but he stayed steadfast. And that is what we have to do with Jesus Christ, to stay steadfast in knowing that the return of our Lord is coming. All right. You gonna wash my shirt tomorrow? All right. Okay. But the greatest sermon that was ever preached to me was the Olivet Discourse, which is a part of this is about too. So I'm not gonna go through the whole Olivet Discourse. It could take hours and hours and hours to do that. But if you want to do a little homework and you read Matthew 24, 25 when you go home, it's really good to read. And so is Thessalonians. Thessalonians are 2 little short ones, but it's about prophecy. So, but I will say that Jesus listed the signs of the times and described the events surrounding his return. He then had told a series of illustrating the importance of being productive and prepared. Matthew 24, 46. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. That has been the theme that I've been talking to you guys. What is he going to find you doing? He tells us to be productive and be prepared. Being productive is serving him. Being prepared is longing for him and going to be welcoming the day of his return. What is another thing that prophecy does? Prophecy empowers us to live positive lives, right? Prophecy also promotes a positive mindset. As the world conditions worsen, here's what Jesus said. We shouldn't hang our heads in depression or shake our heads in confusion. We should lift up our heads in expectation, for our redemption draws near. Luke 21:28, after Paul told the Thessalonians about the sudden return of Christ in the air for his people, he said, comfort another one of these with these words. And you'll find that in Thessalonians 4:18. Comfort each other. And that's what I'm trying to do with it. I'm trying to comfort you guys today, giving you a little bit of knowledge and understanding that this is not some crazy thing to think about. It's not some crazy thing to grasp. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are telling us to grasp this. So the study of the sign of times isn't just for prophecy freaks, as I said. Second coming scholars, it is for every single Christian who loves the appearance of Christ. It's comprehensible and it is compelling, and it will change your life. It's a practical subject with tangible benefits. And those who study it are happier, holier, and healthier people. We can rightly consider it is the greatest self-improvement course we could take. The benefits are eternal. So if our benefits are eternal, what a great one to take. We live in a crazy place. We all agree with that, right? The world has gone nuts. But it doesn't mean we have to. We don't have to go nuts. Jesus also told us, do not worry about these things as they must come to pass. So if Jesus says, don't worry, I'm not worried. We have a song called, God's Not Worried. So why should I worry, right? God's not worried. So why should I worry? I'm not worried. I'm not worried because I know the power of Jesus Christ. I know the power of the Holy Spirit and what they do. And with that, we should have no fear. We should be bold, walk bold, talk bold, pray for healing boldly. We need to do these things boldly because we're sons of Christ. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to look into a little more scripture about prophecy. I would recommend staying out of the, what's the terminology of 10 heads and dragons? Don't go there. But prophecy is for us. It's for us to learn and to help us be better. It is not to scare. It is to prepare. Amen? Is this helping anybody out a little bit? Whew, okay, thank goodness. All right. So this, you know, I've dealt with this. You know, when I was in school, I did a lot of this in school. And I graduated from Friends Bible College, Friends, you know, Barclay. It's changed so many names. But they are a Quaker base, you know. And so having this me come in, whoa, yeah, I want to talk about lighting up a bunch of Quakers, man. You should have seen this guy start preaching this stuff and get a little evangelism going. And yeah, but I had a couple teachers, and my main guy, he loved me, loved everything I did. That he goes, you have a purpose, go with it. So I do have a couple more parts. It is a series I have kind of developed, and this is kind of an introduction just for everybody to know what prophecy is. It's not something to be afraid of. Don't be afraid of it. Use it to prepare yourself and better yourself. So if I'm allowed to come back again someday, you guys are going to have to talk to Tim. No, God bless Tim. I love that guy. You know, he is a friend. He is my pastor. and I love him dearly. Yeah, we're both from California. We have a lot of similarities. He had a little tooth problem, so do I. You shouldn't stand behind somebody in their backswing. I'll tell you that right now. But we're both from California. We're both from the beach. We do have a lot of similarities, and I always call him homeboy, only because, you know, in a sense, he really is. Where I grew up in the city, where if I wanted to take the shortcut to the beach, I had to either be really fast or really strong to fight my way through. Otherwise, you had to go the long way around because it was gang territory. And so, how lucky are you feeling today? Well, I got me a brand new mongoose bike, and I'm going to just fly through there. Oh, no. Okay. No, we both grew up in California, and so we do have a lot of similarities. Love Ventura, love the beach. And so I am really glad that and blessed that he has asked me to talk to you guys today. And so thank you guys for coming. We will close with a prayer. And you guys enjoy your week back from after a long week off. Well, if you're a teacher, it's been a great week, right? If you're not, well, I'm sorry. There are benefits. We don't get paid a lot, but we do get paid a lot of benefits, and those benefits outweigh many things. So, but Father God, we just thank you for our congregation. We thank you for this church, and we thank you for the open hearts and minds and ears that I've heard today. We ask that you bless the words that you have given me to speak, that it may go to their hearts and they may grow from it. Let them know no fear. Fear is not what you want for us, Father God. You want us to be strong. You want us to be able. So, Father God, we also pray for Israel and other nations around that our Christians are being persecuted, prosecuted. It is such a shameful thing that it must happen. But, Lord, you can get them out of it. Show them your glory, your strength. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Is that okay? The guy, you learn? Am I okay? Okay.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.